bloody pirates.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah, welcome. Welcome back to the show.
Yes.
This is episode 536 of the Two Dumb Yinzers. This is another Thursday installment. How you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing all right.
Why are you yelling at me?
I don't know. I'm fired up, ready to go. I had my first energy drink in like 2.5 weeks, so I'm still flying high. Then on top of that, I had having some sort of latte, so I'm flying high.
And yet you worry about that melanoma or whatever the fuck.
Exactly. Well, this gets my heart rate up, so it's like I'm working out. You know, my heart.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If your heart doesn't explode, I'd be surprised.
Yeah. Well, that's how I get my cardio.
You're a top candidate for an exploding heart.
Probably. It's going to happen.
Therapy, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great.
Are you? Good.
Yeah, yes. I'm doing great.
Good. That's good to hear, man. Derpy, I've become accustomed to. He's like my AI. He's like my I don't know. they're working on getting these personal assistants, and I don't even know if I want a personal assistant. I have Derpy. Oh, anytime God. I turn around and there's a sporting event or something on TV that I'm not catching, it never fails. Derpy updates me for everything, and I appreciate it. I don't take it lightly, Derpy. I think that's really cool, and I find it very helpful. And I'm a very, very appreciative Derpy. Whether it be football, whether it be hockey, whether it be baseball, Derpy is always on top of things, Mike.
He is. Like he'll message me all the time too, and I just kind of look at him, and then I always fail to respond to Derpy. I do. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And I put my phone down and I go about my day. I'm like, oh, I never responded to the poor guy.
Well, that's where I'm at too, because listen, and you can't take this the wrong way, Derpy. It's a lot, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
Yeah.
I just can't reply to everything. Is what you got to understand.
Like I have good friends that I've known since kindergarten.
Right.
They will text me or call me, and it'll take me like a week to get back to them. So,
yes.
So, Derpy, don't feel slighted.
I've picked up conversations with my friends that I've had that I haven't talked to in years. I'll be going down through my text or whatnot, and I'll see a conversation that we haven't been in a year at least, and I'll just jump back into the conversation like it never ended.
Yeah,
you know, it's just. But I wanted to bring that up because Derpy, I don't know what the date was, but we got to be around your 1 year anniversary.
I think we are.
What's that?
I think we are, but I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. I mean, it may have already passed for all I know, or it might be coming up. I don't know. I just know that it was sometime around now. But Derpy, you're the rookie of the year. We'll put it to you that way.
I'll take it.
You outperformed every other rookie on the show, and we give you kudos for that. Thank you. Great job, Derpy, everybody.
Best Derpy in the business.
I'd like to thank the Academy.
That's right, baby. Kenny Wood just found out yesterday the Pittsburgh Steeler roller coaster is down for the season. A lot of people up in arms about this. But no one more than whoever the hell set Kenny Wood on fire last night.
What?
Listen. Yesterday on a couple of shows, people were talking about that Steeler roller coaster. They shut it down for the year for some technical issues. Well, last night I'm looking around on the news and Kenny Wood was on fire.
Oh my God!
So
Kenny Wood set it on fire.
What's that, Derpy?
Who set it on? Set it on?
I don't know.
Who lit it on fire?
I'm speculating it's somebody that's angry about the roller coaster ride. But you know what? Just 2 or 3 days, whatever it is, prior to the park opening. That can't be a good thing that the place caught on fire. And
no, my prime suspect is Derpy.
You think it was Derpy, huh?
I think it was Derpy. I'm not going to lie. I believe Derpy was involved. He just seems like that kind of guy.
I don't see Derpy as a pyro guy. I see him as the kind of tortures and kills small animals, but not the kind of.
but not he commit arson.
Yeah. That's, well, thanks. Thanks, Ryan.
That is fair.
Well, hey.
I'm gonna go with that, Brian. I believe you on that.
We got a big show today, guys. We got a lot of stuff we're gonna talk about. We got a very special guest coming on. Brian Pasquale from One Man's Opinion on Sports with Brian Pasquale on the WBVP, Beaver County Radio, right here, just outside of Pittsburgh. His show's on every Wednesday from 5 to 6 o'clock p.m. I think it's a very good show. I think that everybody should take a chance and check it out. We're going to have Brian on today. Yeah. We're going to talk some sports. We got some Pirate talk. We have some Penguin talk, a little bit of football. But Brian will be here any second. The word is they just seen him checking into the green room as we speak. But we'll have Brian come on again. This is he's the host. We've had Brian on before.
Yes.
He's the host of One Man's Opinion on Sports with Brian Pasquale. Mike, if Brian is all settled in the green room, go ahead and let him in.
Let him in now.
Brian, come on in. Let us stare at you. There he is. There he is.
Hey, Brian, what time was this this fire at Kennywood? What time of night? Because I need an alibi here somehow.
It was Brian and Derby over there.
Yeah. These two together. I
don't trust them, man. I do not trust them.
This combination, I'm very, very, I got my eye on these two. But I'm gonna stare at Brian for the next 3 minutes of the show. That will make for good show.
Great for the YouTube channel. Bad for the Spotify.
Yeah, terrible for Spotify. If only you could play some kind of creep. Like if we only had some creepy music on cue or something, then I could just stare at Brian
right?
too.
Yeah, I need my keyboard out. Lay down some jams.
Good morning, welcome, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
A lot of things we're going to talk about today, guys. I'm going to start off on the Pirates just because the last day we were on, there's been two games. So I do want to cut through this. And there's some pretty big scoop that went on, guys. This team, they got swept for the first time. And they lost their first series. This is the first series the Pirates lost all season. They get swept by the Mets. Yesterday, they lose 9-1. The day prior, on Tuesday evening, they lost 3-1. Not a good series for the Pirates. They look very sloppy. They look lazy. As I said to Brian yesterday on his show, they look like they're in midseason form.
Yeah.
Hey, this is what the Pirates generally look like in July, August.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to be honest. They fell a little quicker than I thought they would. Because if they right now were to tie their 20-8 record, they have to win the next 9 games in a row.
Yeah, the way they're playing, that's not looking possible.
Which they went 9-1 last year.
True.
To get to that point. But, you know, like I said, they look sluggish. Cruz finally gets a hit yesterday. Henry finally gets a hit. But, I mean, they're not hitting the ball well. Their fielding is it's subpar. I'm seeing balls roll right under O'Neill Cruz's glove. I'm seeing, the play with Connor Joe where he throws the ball right at the ground. It's a whole combination of the things that are going on with this Pirates team. It's not good. It's again, it's way too early to go from one extreme to the other. But that seems to be the running thing, the theme for the Pirates guys.
Yeah, that's Pirate baseball.
Exact thing last year. They're doing it exactly this year. Mike, should we expect anything more from this Pirates team, or should we just bail out now?
It's too early for me to bail out now. Even though they've lost what, 6 of their last 8 games, it's not looking pretty. What we thought would be a strength, their bullpen has been, my God, the weak link on this team, and they just can't catch a break. I have no idea what's going on with this team. You have a pitcher pitching well, but you pull him out after the 5th inning. The lineups sometimes are questionable. So, like you said, man, they are in midseason form.
The Pirates dropped the game yesterday. As I mentioned, it was an afternoon game. They dropped the Mets 9-1. Pirates are now 11-8. Excuse me. The Mets are now 10-8. And the best team in baseball, Derpy, believe it or not, the best team in baseball at this moment is the Cleveland Guardians with a 12-5 record. Derpy, not even you. Not even you could predict what's going on with this Cleveland Guardians team.
It won't be that way for long because our pitching.
But you keep saying that every time you say that, they win more. So
they keep winning. I'll take their pitching over ours right now, at least the bullpen.
Mike mentioned Jared Jones, the starter the other day. 5 innings pitched, 1 hit, given up, Zero earned runs, zero walks, seven Ks. They pull him after five.
Yeah.
For Luis Ortiz, who comes in for 1 2/3, gives up two hits, three earned runs, a walk, and gets no strikeouts.
All in the name of protecting his arm. Like, you can't strengthen tendons and ligaments, you know? So I this whole thing about, oh, we got to protect our pitchers. He hasn't pitched this many innings. Well, win with him now and then shut him down later in the season when he brings schemes up. If you want to play that game, to me, it was a stupid decision. He threw, what, 50 pitches through five innings? I think his arm's going to be fine.
59 pitches, 59 50 through five. Strikes.
Yeah. Just let him keep throwing. My God.
If I can interject here,
yeah.
this five inning thing was preordained.
Yeah,
the Mets broadcasting system already knew this. For some reason, the Pirates didn't. And typically, it's a pitch count. It's a number. It's not an innings. Like, what is this, like 9-year-old little league? You know,
exactly.
You take my pitch, three innings, five innings. It's just shameful.
Brian, is this any indication to you that it's going to be a lot of the same with Paul Skeens? They're really going to drag their feet with this guy. And a lot of us that are getting excited about the possible bringing up of Skeens, you know, around July, we might be getting a little too excited for nothing.
Yeah, they're saying that Skeens right now can pitch around 50 pitches or so, and that's what they're limiting him to. They want to build him up to 70-some. I don't understand how you build up a guy who's been pitching his whole life up to 70-some pitches. I'm sure he could throw 120 if he wanted to.
Yeah,
Especially if he's the freaking nature that everybody's talking about. They, you know, they're calling him a generational type player. You know, those guys are usually okay.
Yeah, and how many innings did he pitch in college last year alone? His arm held up, and he was throwing just as fast and just as hard. Yeah, these injuries suck when they happen, but they're going to happen regardless. You know, we've seen Pirates have pitchers on pitch counts who blown out their elbow. It happens. It's going to happen. It's not, like I said, man, these are ligaments and tendons. You can't strengthen them. You know, it's going to happen.
Again, and everybody, this is Brian Pasquale. You see on the screen with the orange shirt. Brian is the host of One Man's Opinion on Sports with Brian Pasquale on WBVP Radio, 99.3 FM, 1230 AM. And this is Beaver County Radio. This is every Wednesday from 5 to 6 o'clock. Check out Brian and his show. It's great stuff. A lot of good stuff over there. And today we have Brian on to talk about some sports with us. Let me go over the first game the other day. It was the day that Jared Jones pitched. We had five hits, one by Connor Joe, one by Reynolds, one by Kutch, one by Davis, one by Lincoln Williams. Not a good day offensively. The Bucks bats started to, and as I think I said on Brian's show yesterday, as soon as we started booing, and I say we as the collective Yinzers in Pittsburgh started booing David Bednar in the last home game before they went on the road, is when it seemed all started to fall apart for the whole team. I don't know if it's a morale thing. I don't know what that's all about. But after we started booing him, they went and played fair in Philadelphia. They split the series 2-2. Then they go to New York and get swept by a Mets team that ain't that great after having a pretty good start. So, again, maybe they could come home, get their mindset right. They got today off. They start up a home series against Boston on Friday, play through the weekend, and then they start up a series next week against Milwaukee, which is going to be huge, a huge early season match because it's a four-game set, and this is the team that we're chasing. So, Mike, any chance that at the end of these seven games, the Pirates are still anywhere within arm's reach of first place?
It's not looking like it. And I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to fall to their level. I thought this team might be able to contend for the division. It may have overstepped. I think they'll be settling in around second, third. I think they're going to fall down just a little bit. If this team is, you know, if that booing really affected them, then I was right all along. They're soft.
Brian was mentioning yesterday, I think that even the Cubs are ahead of us now. Is that right, Brian?
A game or half a game.
And as I said, it could be a lot worse. Here we are, you know, 18 games, whatever we're in, not too much, a couple weeks into the season, and these things are happening, which means we have a long way to write this ship. But on the other hand, if you're a Pirates fan and you've been from Pittsburgh and you've paid attention to sports, that kind of thing doesn't seem to matter. You could give them 12 months and this team is not going to, you know, they'll eventually go in the wrong direction. Which stinks again. This is a little too quick. I hope to enjoy the Pirates a little bit longer than I got to. And they're already up to their shenanigans, guys. Let me get into yesterday's game. Bailey Falter, who ended up becoming one of the hotter pitchers as of late after his start was a disaster. Bailey Falter comes in and throws five innings, gives up four hits, two earned runs, one walk, and has four Ks. He was pulled for Stratton, who comes in with one inning pitched. Guys, get this. One inning pitched. He gives up three hits. He gives up four earned runs. And one inning pitched. One walk, one K. And that was similar to what they did with Ortiz for Jared Jones. That line I gave you about Jones. Listen to Ortiz's line. One and two-thirds inning, two hits, three earned runs, a walk and no Ks. So, you know, what's the resolve to this, Brian? You let these pitchers, you extend them another inning or two? I mean, come on, they're successful in these games. The first five, six innings in the last two games could have certainly gone our way. But once it gets to that certain point, you start bringing in relievers. Who we thought was a strength of ours, as Mike said, the bullpen, they all of a sudden turn into the Achilles heel, Brian.
Yeah, it's just incompetence, and they're relying too much on the metrics. I think the less you pitch somebody, the weaker their arm becomes, but they have the opposite theory that let's start them out slow in the beginning of the year. It's only April. It's a long season, and we want them to be there at the end of the season. But if you're not trying to win now, what's the point?
Right.
Exactly. We just saw that with the Penguins.
Tired of hearing about the future in this town, because guess what? Mm-hmm. We've been waiting around for years and years on these future plans, and none of them are panning out. We might as well join in the rest of the teams that are finding ways to get championships won, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we saw this with the Penguins. Like Brian said, you win now, so you don't have to worry about later. And that's what the Pirates need to do, especially this team. They can't afford mistakes. The margin of error on the field and in the standings with this team is so small. So let these pitchers pitch, you know? The bullpen's not there right now. That was supposed to be the strength. And let the starters go and build up that arm strength. Because like you said, Brian, you know, you don't pitch a whole lot, your arm's going to be dead. So when you do eventually get to that point to pitch longer. So let them pitch.
After Stratton comes in, gives up a bunch of runs yesterday. He gives up four runs, guys, four runs in one inning. David Bednar comes in. That's a little work. Bednar goes two-thirds of an inning. Get this, guys. Two-thirds of an inning, he gives up two hits, three earned runs, one walk, and a couple of Ks. What's up with all these relief pitchers giving up more earned runs than they're giving up hits? Unfortunately, I'm not getting to catch these games for one reason or another these past couple, but that doesn't seem right to me.
Now, what, guys left on base, and wasn't that when they came in, they gave up with the runs or something? I don't know what's going on, but I just know Bednar's pitching terribly. As well, it's just a mess, that whole bullpen. Even this, it's just a mess.
It really is, and you know, it's good though, because we do have the Red Sox coming. I think they're in last place in that division, but being in last place in the AL East, you know, those teams could be just as good as the first place in the NL Central.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike.
Sorry. No, you're good.
A couple of the hits yesterday in the game where we lost 9-1. It's getting worse. O'Neill Cruz gets two hits. I'm sorry. Reynolds gets a hit. Tellez gets a hit. Williams gets another hit. Again, the Pirates are off today. They come home. They start a seven game. Let me talk about this Jared Jones for a minute, guys. He was the Bucks' number three prospect. He's one of the only few. I got a couple conflicting things here, so let me read them both. I'm not sure which it is, so you guys have to help me out. The first one is Jones is one of the only two pitchers since 1893 to begin a career with three straight appearances with seven plus strikeouts. And the other one I read, I mean, it was almost right after this article. It says he's the fourth MLB player since 1893, joining Mashiro Tanaka, Steven Strasburg, and Jose De Leon as the only players. So I don't know if he's the third player or the fourth player to have this amount of strikeouts in his first few games, but it's one or the other.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive, guys. I mean,
it is.
you know, these top names. Roger Clemens didn't do this. Your Randy Johnson didn't do this. And I'm not saying that this guy's going to be one of those guys, but, you know, Brian, that's impressive, right?
Well, it's funny. A fun fact is Steven Strasburg made his major league debut versus the Pirates, and I believe he had 15 strikeouts to start off his career.
That sounds about right.
Well, that's
the
one thing
that
somebody
game.
Like Strasburg has an advantage over our guys. Our guy don't get to face us.
Right. That's true. So what Jones is doing is more impressive.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like his strikeouts per nine innings are 12.5. Pitches per start, 78.3. Let him pitch more. It'll strike everyone the fuck out, apparently.
We can't have that.
Yeah, no, can't have that. You know, take some pressure off this offense that is starting to cool off. If you have someone who's showing that they can be a workhorse, let them be a workhorse.
Derpy.
Yes.
What do you got to say about these Indians? I'm sorry, the Guardians. How do you even explain what's going on up there?
It's early. That's all I got to say. It's early.
Yeah.
Just like the Pirates, it's early.
So negative.
He's waiting for the bottom to fall out.
It's 162. 162.
162.
Derby's been burnt so many times by that team. He just knows. You're sounding right. Like a Bucko fan, Derby. Just cross on over. Just cross on over to this side.
You might as well at this point.
Yeah.
Jeez. The Pirates. Okay. Staying on Jared Jones, guys. Mm-hmm. Jared Jones. Listen to this. I'm going to give you the top five strikeout leaders in the majors as of right now. Number five, Zach Wheeler. Zach Wheeler, we faced earlier this season. He has 30 Ks on the season already after four starts. Hunter Green, also with 30 strikeouts. Garrett Crochet has 31. The number two leading strikeout leader in the majors right now at the moment is Jared Jones with 32. 32 strikeouts as we speak. Tyler Glass now being the top right in the majors with 34 strikeouts. You know, as Brian, I was talking to Brian yesterday, and he was saying you get Skeens up and you get Jones. All of a sudden, Mitch Keller turns into your three in the rotation, yes. And you're not looking so bad all of a sudden.
No, and that's where he needs to be. Keller's not the ace of the staff. Third. Fourth in the rotation, perfect spot for him. We're seeing Jones can be an ace if needed. And you get Skeens on top of that. That's a nice 1-2-3 to start off your rotation.
I agree. You know, it's just terrible. It just sucks that the Pirates run things the way that they do.
Mm-hmm. A real franchise would have Skeens up here by now.
The series versus the Brewers is very huge because – historically, we go up there and we get just crushed.
Yeah.
So when we have them at home, we have to win. We have to win 3 out of 4. And if we brought up Skeens, this would be our starting four pitchers versus the Brewers, who we're going to be chasing all year. Jones would be game one, mm-hmm. Falter game two, Skeens game three, and Keller game four. That sounds like at least 3 wins to me.
Exactly. Yeah. and Falter, if he pitches the way he did, two starts ago, you can potentially have a sweep going on there.
You know, I mean, that makes sense to everybody except for the Pirates.
Yeah.
There's nobody that thinks that that's a bad idea except for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And they'll show us. They'll show us. They'll prove it to us, you know.
But worst case scenario, what happens, you know, say Skeens gets hurt in the minors, that will be their excuse of, see, this is why we didn't call him up. His arm wasn't ready, which – I can see that happening as this worst case scenario that just popped into my head. But like you said, Brian, that opening spot in the rotation is right there. It falls in line when he should be pitching. They should put him right there, but they won't. They're stupid.
Key Brian Hayes battling some low back tightness. Andrew McKay. It
never ends.
It never ends with these guys. Andrew McCutchen with his home run the other night, he reached that 300 home run plateau. Guys, he's only the 26th player ever. You see Brian over there putting up the Zoltan, which he did pull out the other day. He's the 26th player ever. You got to think of all the, I don't know how many, tens of thousands of baseball players off the history. Easy. He becomes the 26th player ever with 300 home runs and 200 stolen bases, guys.
Not bad. Not bad company.
No.
Hall of Famer or borderline?
Oh, I think he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. I think he makes it.
Yeah, I think so too. Brian, you think he makes the Hall of Fame?
Oh, it's tough to say. His postseason numbers aren't there. Well, I mean, playing for the Pirates, you don't get very many
Yeah.
opportunities, but he didn't have any RBIs here in Pittsburgh. I think he got like one or something with the Yankees. But, his career was ruined by playing here for Pittsburgh. He should have been a leadoff batter his whole career, and they batted him third because we didn't have any power. And so I think that makes his numbers dip. But yeah, I think he gets in not only because his numbers are there, but he's a really likable guy.
Absolutely.
And
And
that's
a lot of
key.
times that goes a long way.
Yeah. We you saw that when
Barry
Barry
Bonds.
Bonds didn't win the MVP because
Yeah.
Mysick didn't like him. And, that you should lose your vote because I don't like you, so I'm not gonna vote for you. But no, like, and then too with Kutch, he was the best player on this terrible team that made them relevant again too, and that goes a long way in voters' eyes. He made the franchise relevant again.
He was the face of this team that came back
Yeah.
after 20 some years and went to the playoffs. On top of that particular season, he ends up winning the National League MVP.
Yeah, that goes a long way too.
Absolutely. I think he is a, you know, I, and again, as you guys said, sometimes just being a nice guy is just enough to give you that final push in. I think McCutcheon has no problem getting into the hall. They by Jersey guys, they dipped. The Pirates dipped under 500 for the first time. I keep track of the jerseys, wins and losses with their white jerseys. They went they're 3-1 at this point. And their white jerseys are 3-1. In their black jerseys, they're 5-3. And then finally in their grays, they're 3-4. I always say that. I don't like the grays. Wear the black on the road at least. But they're the only team in Pittsburgh. They're the only team, college or pros, that wear an away gray uniform, and I hate
I'm
it.
just surprised you didn't call him what you called him last week.
What did I call them last week?
The gay grays.
Well, they are the gay grays.
Happy grays.
Yeah, the happy
The
grays.
happy grace.
That's Derpy softball team. Derpy still there, buddy?
Name of my
I'm
touch
still
team.
here.
All right.
I thought Derpy played that game that was in Harry Potter, not softball, like with the baskets and the brooms.
Quidditch?
Yes.
That's his Quidditch team.
Yeah.
The happy
The
grays.
happy grace.
Pittsburgh Penguins,
Jesus
guys, let's
Christ.
skate over to the
Oh,
ice.
do we
The
have
Penguins
to?
get eliminated, not
Oh,
last
no.
night, but they got eliminated the night before. And you know how sickening it was? It was so sickening that we actually had it. We were cheering the Philadelphia Flyers. And for what? For what? I had to cheer the Flyers for now. It's, come on. They needed the Flyers in Montreal to win 2 nights ago. Both teams lose. They get eliminated Tuesday night, guys. And that's before the Penguins even played their last game of the season. Mike, here we are, 2 years in a row. One game left. I mean, you're playing that last game meaningless. It stinks. I mean, come on. Where does this team go from here? Do they still continue to beat this dead horse as we move forward? Or do you see things changing anytime in the near future?
I don't see they're not gonna ask any of the four to waive their no movement clause or anything like that. So they'll all be back. They gotta find if they're committed to moving forward and at maybe one last run with these guys, you gotta fire the assistant coaches because they're not gonna fire Sullivan, get new assistant coaches there, fresh ideas, fresh blood. You gotta figure out the goaltending situation. Ned played the last 14 games last night, or what, the other night? Yeah, last night against the Islanders. They didn't even think about playing Jari in a meaningless game. So that shows you the kind of faith Sullivan has in him. So you got to figure out goaltending, and I'm thinking all new assistant coaches. You got to figure out again the third line, the fourth line, and some of these odd defensemen. So there needs to be a whole lot of shakeup. But like I said, your Crosby, Malcolm, Letang, Carlson aren't going anywhere.
Brian, any reason or any chance this Pittsburgh Penguin team qualifies for the playoff next year, or does this team go for 3 straight seasons without making the playoffs? I mean, I'm talking about any chance. You would have thought last year they could have got in, at the end things didn't go their way. This year they decided to play at the last second of the season, played good hockey, played really good hockey. It was just too little too late. Any chance this team qualifies next season, Brian, or do you think that this is, this is going to go on until something, extreme happens in way of the roster to make a difference?
There's a chance. Their chance would be the Blomqvist guy from Wilkes-Barre, the goaltender down there. If he comes up and is an absolute stud, he can make up for a lot of those odd man breaks that they like to give up right after we score a goal, or you know, with like 30 seconds left to go in a period. He's going to be our chance. You know what you're going to get out of your big four. And like Mike said, they're not going to fire Sullivan. They're not going to get rid of the four. So they're going to just have scapegoats. They're going to get rid of all the assistants. I think there's like 9 million assistants now.
Yeah.
So hopefully they make some changes on the power play, but they're not going to. And maybe they'll practice 3-on-3. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, which is weird. Like 3-on-3, like what, a year ago, they were fine. This year, they couldn't do shit.
And you guys mentioned Ned and this other rookie, or this other goaltender. How do you guys think that Ned played? I mean, you know, as you stated, he played 11, 12 straight starts. You know, they won a lot of hockey games during that period of time. It seems to me like, you know, people are turning to him and saying, well, you know what, maybe we should have won these games. But on the other hand, you know, is it the skaters? Is it the goalie? I mean, I think there's a lot more issues than what we're talking about here on this hockey team. But with that being said, how do you feel that Ned's overall performance was, Mike?
Wasn't bad. Wasn't great. It was like what you would expect of someone of his caliber.
Yeah.
But like you said too, and like Brian said, the way we give up all these odd man rushes, so many shorthanded goals, it's a tough evaluation. You know, he played well, but Ned's not the guy that's going to carry you on into the playoffs. Jari is definitely not going to be that guy. He's just not right in the head. What they need to change the way they play, because they can't play Sullivan's system. They're not fast enough anymore, you know. And his refusal to adjust his system is adversely affecting the goaltending.
In the past,
the defense just pinch all night long. They don't stay home when they should.
In the past, it's never been an issue for the Penguins to pull the trigger on getting a new coach. You've seen it happen in the, I mean, of course, in the early 90s, it was a death of Badger Bob that did it. But during their second run for their Stanley Cup, when they lost and then beat Detroit, they had no problem switching coaches. And then prior to the, you know, the most recent run, they had no problem switching coaches. Why? How long are they going to let this Mike Sullivan thing go before they put the responsibility on him?
The Fenway Sports Group love Mike Sullivan.
Why? Because he's no good. I mean, because we're not winning.
They're from Boston. He's from Boston.
He's a Boston guy.
Yeah, and they're
that's what I'm saying. But we're the Penguins. Is that maybe why they like him? Because we're not doing any good with him in there.
I don't know, man. That's the ownership group. They like Sully, and they just signed a new 5-year contract at the end of last season. So he's here for probably the next 4 years.
Well, that's why they're not my favorite Pittsburgh team. I'm not saying anything about the people that do like them, but one other thing, guys, you know, we can't trade Crosby. We can't, you know, they have all these clauses. And the one guy that we couldn't do anything about until last night was Jeff Carter. Guys, he's retiring. Thank heavens, after 19 seasons, he scored his 442nd goal last night in his last game, along with Malkin, Pustinen, and Raquel. That was the Penguins' 4 goals. Penguins dropped a 38, 32, and 12. The Islanders are 39, 27, and 16. Again, the Penguins will miss the playoffs for the second straight year. And maybe when they get back into the playoffs, they'll be my favorite team. They're definitely not my favorite Pittsburgh team right now.
Whoever makes the playoffs, that's your favorite team?
Whichever Pittsburgh team makes the playoffs next.
The River Hounds.
Yeah, it might be it, too.
Can they win a game?
Yeah. So there you go. Jeff Carter is retiring, guys. So finally cutting that loose. Yeah, won't have that issue anymore.
Thank God. Well, I got terrible, terrible signing.
Yeah. I want to talk about – we're going to get into football here in just a minute, but I do want to talk about my favorite, your favorite, everybody's favorite, Caitlin Clark. Yeah, Brian, Caitlin Clark.
Heck yeah.
All right, so Caitlin Clark, she is poised to land an 8-figure deal signature with her own signature shoe with Nike. 8-figure deal. Because she's going to need it. The number one
pick. She'll come in a men's size 12.
Right.
Jesus, God.
Her number one in the WNBA over the first 5 years, she is going to make $338,000 in the first 5 years. In the NBA, the number one pick makes $55.1 million in the first 4 years. I mean, there's a reason for this.
Yeah.
People go on and on and on and complain about why don't the girls get paid like the guys? Why is the WNBA not as big as you got to put your asses in their seats? Bottom line, they get, you know what I'm seeing, especially a lot of women. Why don't they get paid? Why don't they get paid what the guys get paid? These guys are, well, look at the stadiums. You watch NBA games, them stadiums are still packed to this day. You got that money comes from, I don't think they understand the process because the money has to come from somewhere. And if there's nobody going to these games, no money's being generated. No money's being made in the vending. No, the whole thing, the whole way down the line. I hope to see them do better. And let me tell you about a few things about the WNBA that has improved since the women's basketball started gaining more and more attention over the past month. The WNBA draft sold out in just minutes. The WNBA, their draft sold out in just minutes. Prices soar for the Fever. Now, this is who Caitlin Clark got drafted by. The number one pick was the Indiana Fever. Their prices soar, which is good for them. They anticipate people are going to show up to see her. The Aces moved their game to a larger arena. I mean, this isn't even where Caitlin Clark's playing. So, I mean, these are good signs economically. The commissioner hopes to double the media rights. And the Mercury, they launch a rookie versus goat campaign, which I don't understand entirely what it is, but I guess you can use your imagination. So the WNBA, I mean, they're making moves forward. They're progressing forward. On top of, they're also looking to add more teams in cities such as Toronto, Philadelphia, Nashville, Denver, and South Florida. So, Brian, does this crop of girls, ladies, I'm sorry, coming up from college basketball into the WNBA, do they breathe life back into the league, or is this just going to be a gone by the night thing, and they go back to being the WNBA and getting no crowds, getting no attention? But you see a lot of these things. I mean, there's signs that things are moving in the right direction. Is there any sign, Brian, that this league could hold itself?
Okay, first off, I heard about the expansion. They want to go to what, 16 teams? I think that's an absolutely awful idea. If 5 years from now all this works out from Caitlin coming in and you're making money and you're actually profitable, at least maybe one of the seasons for the first time ever, then I can understand that. What really struck me was back during the COVID times, nobody ever got COVID from going to a WNBA game because there were nobody close enough to you to spread COVID.
Right.
So, 200 to 300 fans a night is not going to help. Obviously, Caitlin Clark's going to be a one-person show. What people forget too is Michael Jordan didn't make any money like these guys are making today until his 97 and 98 seasons when he demanded 30, 35 million. Before that, he made all his money from Nike, Gatorade, McDonald's, blah, 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 blah. Clark's the same way.
Yeah. And too, like with the WNBA contracts, like it they're low, and like Ryan said, it's based about revenue. And one thing like the players are saying, like, we don't want to be paid what the NBA players get paid. We just want like the percentage of revenue split close to how it is in the NBA too. That hopefully, like you said, though, with Caitlin Clark coming in, they'll make some more money, and then they can renegotiate their CBA, get their contracts up. They're not gonna be making NBA type money, but make it a little bit more equitable for them, a little bit more profitable for the players and the owners as well. Because right now it's lopsided towards the owners in that league, but it kind of has to be because they're not making any money, and it's more or less subsidized by the NBA. Well, that's the thing too. Like, how much money does the NBA pour into there? If that money goes away, the league might go away.
$10 million a year.
Yeah.
Jeez. And
Yeah, on average.
the NBA's, they're covering these guys. I'm seeing that they're making no money. They're still in the red. How long has the WA been around, guys? Has it been 20 years now?
25.
20,
Yeah. Yeah.
wow.
Zero profit, 25 years in
Yeah.
a row.
That's rough. So, I mean, is somebody like Caitlin Clark in this class, Are they gonna make an improvement? Are they gonna save the day? I don't know, but it's gonna improve things.
Tell you what, the two
How
coming
long
up
have you known
behind
they can
them,
go
they got what,
profit?
Paige
I mean, that's a
Buckner,
quarter century you
Juju
made no
Watkins
money.
coming up. You would hope after 25 years they would make money, but now, no, my God, the way with the social media is now, and the way the players are interacting, especially this younger generation, you never know. It might be this might when we start to see them turn and make a profit. More
I
eyes
hope
on it
you're
because
right.
so many people are watching Caitlin Clark. The way, my God, she
They're
has like
gonna.
more people following her than like some of the bigger athletes, people in the NFL. She has more followers on this social media platform, blah, blah, blah. If that can turn into actual viewership for the league, actual butts in the seats, that's a good thing. But, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, 25 years is a long time to make no profit. But you got, the thing is, you got to have something out there for everybody. And, the gals want to play professional ball too. And I'm totally for that. So how you fix this, I don't know. I don't know. Derpy has got things going on, which you
Oh,
can't see on
God.
the
We have
screen at
multiple
home.
derpies.
P on the board. Ben, hey, how you
Swimsuit
doing, P?
calendars.
Nice to see you, man. He says WNBA swimsuit calendars. That one is for free. You know what? I would
Oh,
like.
Lexi Brown is hot.
I'd like to take a look at these some one of these WNBA accounts. Do they have them? Is this a thing?
I don't know. We know what you're searching after the
Damn right. I want to see half. I want to make
show.
sure half of these women have vaginas. Is
Oh
what I
my
want to make
God.
for sure.
Ryan, Google Lexi Brown. She plays for the LA. She's their point guard.
Right, I will. And then the team that Chicago Sky. They got that Cordoza, and then they got the other one, Angel Reese. Yeah. So I mean, if anything, you're interested to watch this, these personalities, and that's what I'm, that's what I'm into, and that's what I'm gonna watch for, and I hope they all do well.
And personalities, that's what helps sports. That's what helps get butts in
Absolutely.
the seat is personalities.
The media has to also do their part. It's all sports entertainment now. They have to do what they can, as the announcers do in wrestling. Paint the picture.
Exactly.
Paint the
Pete's
picture.
comment, got to be at least 12 girls that clean up nice.
You gotta paint the picture for the fans and for the people, as the announcers do in wrestling, as they do in football, as they do, it comes down to the media a lot of times. And the media, in my opinion, makes or breaks things. And maybe that's what it is. But again, it's gonna be a road. It's gonna be a road for the WNBA. They still haven't made any money in 25 years. I'm going to watch these girls. Hopefully I watch them for longer than a game or two and get bored like people generally do with the NBA, WNBA, I'm sorry. But give it a chance. Let's see what Caitlin Clark and Reese and all these girls can do.
I just want to see Caitlin Cl Clark drop 40 on Diana Taurasi.
I can't believe Diana Taurasi still plays basketball. I'm going to be honest.
That's the whole goat versus
She's
rookie
like older
thing.
than me.
She
She
is
is.
old.
Guys, Blake Griffin retires. I didn't even realize Blake Griffin was still in the NBA.
People are trying to say he's a Hall of Famer because he has like more all NBAs than Reggie Miller. Like Reggie Miller was one of the greatest 3-point shooters of all time. Blake Griffin wasn't a guy. He was a nice guy to have on your team, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
Mean, he is the only guy I've seen jump over a car in the slam dunk contest, which was cool, but does that qualify him for Hall of
You know
Famer?
what? You know what? I forgot that happened. That might actually bump him into the Hall of Fame.
He's a beastie dunker. There's no two ways about that. If I know anything about Blake Griffin, it is that. Guys, let's move on to football here. We are starting to run a little tight on time. Matthew Wright, the new kicker signed by the Steelers, will be wearing Kenny's old number 8 this season. Matthew Wright, now he's been around the block. He's been here with Chris Boswell. What's the game plan with Matthew Wright? I think the other last week, Mike, you mentioned get him in here, possibly let him hang around, and if you need your kicker.
Camp leg. Easier to, just take some of the kicking away from Boswell during preseason, during training camp drills, and sneak him in on the practice squad.
Is that what's going on? You don't think it's a little bit of competition for Boswell? All right. Derpy's saying he'll be on tomorrow. He lost Wi-Fi. So if you're wondering what's going on with Derpy, he disappeared. He showed up. He popped up on the main screen, and now he's in these on the board. So just lay low there, Derpy. We got trivia and stuff. So you just hang out in there. Talk to Pete. Also, guys, this is the odds. Everybody's waiting. Everybody's waiting. Everybody's waiting to hear, are we going to sign Brandon Ayuk or not? Some speculated that it's going to happen for the draft. Some people say it's just downright crazy. Guys, here are the odds. According to Vegas, for teams that are going to acquire Brandon Ayuk, Pittsburgh Steelers plus 200. Patriots, I'm sorry, plus 600. Panthers plus 600. Cards plus 700. Chargers plus 900. Brian, where does Brandon Ayuk play this coming season?
Oh, boy. I don't think in Pittsburgh. I mean, I'm really going to hope for it, but I have a feeling that they're going to draft a wide receiver in the first round. So I don't think they're going to want to spend all that money.
Mike?
San Francisco. I don't think he's going to come here.
Even after he changed his social media status? Come on, man.
Oh, yeah. Now you're talking crazy. That's typical wide receiver behavior.
So Brandon Ayuk, Mike says San Fran. Who did you say, Brian?
I said not the Steelers, unfortunately. I really want them to come here, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
Philadelphia could be banned from wearing their home jerseys week one in Brazil for the reason the team that owns the stadium has that particular color green banned due to their intense rivalry with another team.
They didn't know this before.
I saw that. Right? I read that and I was like, wow.
But you picked the one team to play in this one game that just so happened that has the same team as that, our colors as their rival. Come on, that's crazy,
this is
right?
Something you expect from the NHL. Like Gary Bettman would mess this up. I don't expect this from Roger Goodell in the NFL.
It'd be great if Brazil just booed the Eagles the whole time.
That would be beautiful. Yeah, they take their rivalries seriously down there. They don't mess
Derby's
around.
Derby's on the board asking. He said, "I wanted to ask you, who do you think we would?" I wanted to ask, do you think we trade back, Brian? Do you think we trade back in this draft? And if we do, what do you think the strategy is?
I don't think we're going to trade back. I mean, if anything, we might jump up a little bit because we do have 9 picks. Typically, when you trade back, you want to get some depth and whatnot, but we do have 9 picks. I see them trading one or two of those extra picks to move up at some point, not necessarily in the first round, but no, I think they're going to stay at 20.
Mike?
With Omar Khan, I'm not sure what he's going to do. We seem to be very aggressive and jump up. We saw that last year. It all depends on who's there. If the guys they really wanted aren't there, I can see them trading back, getting more picks, and then taking their consolation prize later in the first round. But I'm kind of with Brian here. I think they trade up. And I think they go uber aggressive, get into the top 10 and grab Roma Dunes. Adunze from Washington. Because that guy would be a true number
one. I mean,
what
position in the first 10 do you think we have to land in to get that? Get that pick, Mike.
Probably 10th overall in that spot.
You think he makes it to 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think it will be Marvin Harrison. I think some team's going to reach him, Malik Nabers, and then Rome will drop down.
All right, there you go. Russell Wilson, guys, people are speculating. They're saying, you know what, this guy's over the hill. They kind of think this is a joke pickup that the Steelers made. But, guys, he has, over the past two seasons, got sacked 100 times. So maybe, just maybe, if we could stop that from happening, you know what I mean? Denver was a disaster for him.
Yeah. As long as he doesn't spin out blind to the left or to the right, I think his sack numbers will be just fine.
But he does that just like Pickett. That's his
skill. Exactly. I know.
Yeah. Right into Dan Moore's blocking.
Poor Dan Moore tries his best, and we got our quarterbacks – running into sacks on him. The one time he blocks a guy.
And this is what we said all season. You know, Kenny can't keep doing this, and it just so happens Russell Wilson does it as well. So it's good. That's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Mike, why don't you go and tell everybody about the website?
The2DummyInjures.com. It's coming across the screen right now. The2DummyInjures.com. Head on over there. Got Ryan and I social media's links. We got links to Spotify over there. We got our merchandise store over there. And most importantly, we got the blog over at the2dummyinjures.com.
Go check it out, everybody. www.d2dungeons.com. That's www.d2dungeons.com.
Yeah.
That is the website. Go check it out. All right, guys, the trivia question for today. The trivia question for today is a draft trivia question because we were just 1 week out. This time next week, we're going to be on the show talking about the draft. Brian's got his big show. I'm going to be talking about that in just a moment. So today, guys, is the draft, is a draft trivia question. You guys ready?
No. I might have Wi-Fi problems.
Yeah, right. Therapy, if you're aboard, maybe you could take a pick as well. And same with UP. Everybody on the board, he says, as long as he only runs backwards, sounds like an on. All right, guys. So here is your question of the day. This is, in fact, the draft trivia question. Here we go. Who was the last running back selected first overall? I'm looking for the last running back who was selected first overall in the NFL draft. Take a moment to think that over, guys. We're live every day during the week, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, right here from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. And the show that we do live, brand new every day, we take and we upload it all over on Spotify in podcast form at 8 o'clock p.m. So you can listen to it. Just in case you missed this show, maybe you're at work, you're in the car, you're at the gym, put your earbuds in. You're always able to listen to the brand new show every day over on Spotify. Check it out. All right, gentlemen, the question of the day is this. Again, P on the board, feel free to participate. Derpy, if there's any connect between you and the show right now, feel free to participate. Here we go. The question of the day is this, guys. Who was the last running back selected first overall in the NFL? I'm looking for the last running back who was selected first overall. Brian, you're the host, or you're the guest today. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with you.
Thanks. I'm actually going to go, and I think I'm wrong, but I'm going to go with a Penn State guy. Was there a running back? Was it Enos?
Curtis Enos.
Ooh.
That's my guess.
All right. Curtis Enos is your pick. Is that your final answer?
Well, can you lock me in?
I can lock you in. There you go. You're locked in. P on board says Ricky Williams. Ricky Williams, not a bad pick, guys.
Yeah.
Mike, who was the last running back selected first overall in the NFL draft?
I think P's right. I'm going Ricky Williams.
P says Ricky Williams. Brian says Curtis Enos. And Mike's going to go with Ricky Williams as well.
I'm wrong.
All right, here we go, guys. Question of the day. This is draft trivia. Who was the last running back selected first overall? Brian said the Penn State running back, Curtis Enos. Mike and P on the board, they both say Ricky Williams out of Texas. Brian was correct because he was out of Penn State, but he was incorrect.
Donna Carter?
He's Jonah Carter, 1995.
I thought Jonah Carter was after or before Ricky Williams.
Yeah. Was Ricky Williams even a number one? That's what you might want to look up. I think there was a quarterback that year.
Yeah, and, you're right. Yeah.
Couch, maybe. Or I But yes. Because
it turns out that Curtis Enos went fifth overall in 98 to the Bears. Yeah. Okay.
So there you go, guys. Because Jonah Carter, almost 30 years ago, 1995. That's not 30 years, is it? No, it's almost 30 years.
Almost 30 years ago.
Man.
He blew out his knee in what, training camp.
Yeah, ACL. The guy was he only rushed for 1,000 yards total in his career.
He had like 1 year where he came back after his knee finally healed. It took forever for his knee to heal. And he had a pretty good year. And then after that, he was done. Ricky Williams was fifth.
What are you doing?
I didn't think he was first.
Shut up. I know how to go.
The Saints did. The Saints drafted him. That was the Mike Ditka draft. They had Ricky Williams wearing a dress. You remember that on the front of the ESPN magazine?
Yeah.
Sports Illustrated.
Shut up.
Ricky Williams, you know, he had the wedding dress on. It was a big thing they made out of this. And, his career didn't exactly go the way that he would have liked it either. I like Ricky. But Kajana Carter, guys, the last number one overall pick that was a running back in the NFL.
Ruined it for the rest of them.
Yeah.
Well, he drafted by the Bengals. He was bound to fail.
I want to talk about Brian for a minute. Everyone stare at Brian. Make him nervous. Just stare at him. That Rubik's Cube. I'm going to fucking chuck that thing when I see it again. Brian is the host on Beaver County Radio of a show called One Man's Opinion on Sports with Brian Pasquale every Wednesday at 5 o'clock p.m. The show goes from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. Brian talks about sports. He talks about our home teams, and he talks about sports across the land. There's could be days that he's, giving you hell about LeBron James. There's days that he talks about everything. It's a great show. I do recommend going checking out Brian. Again, the name of the show is One Man's Opinion on Sports with Brian Pasquale. And this is a WBVP. You could check them out on Facebook. They go live also on YouTube and then also on the app, or you can listen on the radio 99.3 or 1230 AM over WBVP Beaver County Radio. Brian, give us a little tidbit about your show. Why should I watch your show?
Well, you should watch it because you're producing it. But for everybody else, Ryan does a great job producing the show. We have a good time, a lot of back and forth, really good information. And this week, we're really going to dive into the draft since it will be the night before the NFL draft. So we're going to be doing a 2-hour and 15-minute long show from 4 to 6:15. We're going to have a few guests on, and one of my guests, this won't be with the NFL, but it'll be Scap Attack. He has about 40,000 followers on YouTube, and he does a great job with a lot of NBA stuff, and he even has like a nice Mike Tomlin 9-minute video that I suggest everybody check it out, but he'll be on, so it'll be nice to hear from him. And once again, the show only does well is because Ryan's producing it.
Well, that is, I tell you what, the dancing destroyer, Dan Neely, one of Brian's regular guests, is very informative. I love when he's on. I learn a lot of things. He will be on next week as well, correct?
Yes, he'll be on. He's going to be breaking everything down. We'll also have Ralph Williams on from Sports Corner as well, breaking things down. So we should be getting a lot of opinions. There should be about 5 or 6 guys participating. So we'll find out, and we'll try to predict what the Steelers are going to do on Thursday.
That sounds great. I know that I'm excited. Most people are chomping at the bit here in Pittsburgh. We want to see what's going to go down with this team. We know that we have holes. There's still a few holes left, but this is what the draft's about, going out and getting that guy you need. So very interested, Brian. Again, very interested in your show next week. You got Wednesday, 5 to 6. Check out One Man's Opinion on it as well. Big draft episode again. Guys, everyone's going to be tuning in to find out what's going on with this draft. So that's a big one, Brian. Also, Mike, do you have anything before we get ready to take off?
Yeah, since I do have Brian here, I did a quick little walk draft before the show.
Mm-hmm.
Run it by real quick. I traded back a bunch of times.
Okay.
You got Zach Frazier in round 1, pick 32. Next pick, second round, Jalen Polk, wide receiver. Next pick, Michael Hall, defensive tackle out of Ohio State. Then Junior Colson, linebacker out of Michigan. Mike Sandstrill, the quarterback out of Michigan. Mason Smith, D-tackle, LSU. Luke McCaffrey, wide receiver, Rice. Maris Liofu, linebacker, Notre Dame. Drafting another center out of Penn State, Hunter Narazd. Safety, Josh Proctor out of Ohio State. And then tackle, Caden Wallace as a project out of Penn State.
These are all Steeler picks?
These are all, yeah. I did a bunch of trade downs. Like if Omar Khan was feeling froggy, trading down.
How many people on that list, Mike?
No, yeah. This is a mock draft I ran right before. So it's throwing that out there for everyone.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I think if that would happen, I would love those picks. You hit a bunch of needs. Brian, that's all I had.
Okay. Brian, did you have something too?
Yeah, real quick, I just have 5 names of guys that if they stay around the 20th, Brian Thomas, Jr., the wide receiver, Cooper DeJean, the defensive back out of Iowa, Bo Nix, Maris Mims, the offensive tackle, and Zach Frazier. They should all be available. I don't know which way they're going to go.
Everyone but Bo Nix, I would take.
All right, there you go. Derpy, he's texting me about this draft every day, multiple times a day. I had questions for him, but again, He has connection issues, but we'll catch him tomorrow in that. But I do want to say thank you so much to Brian Pasquale for stopping by. Of course, the host of One Man's Opinion on Sports with Brian Pasquale on WBVP Radio on Wednesdays. Again, next week, it's not only going to be that 5 to 6, it's going to be 4 to 6:15?
Yeah, we're leading into the Pirates pregame, so we got that extra little segment after 6 o'clock.
Nice. So it's Brian's show, 2 hours, 15 minutes. It goes into the Pirates game. Got to tune in. I will talk about it more between now and then to keep it fresh on your mind. Mike, again, anything else?
I got nothing else. The draft needs to get here. I am just eager.
We're down to a week, man. You know what? What I really thought after watching the Pirates last night, they played yesterday during the day, but by the time I watched it was last night. I thought, man, these next 4 months just can't go fast enough. I'm ready. I'm ready for my Steelers, man.
I can't wait.
I do want to appreciate everybody. I do want to say thank you, everybody, for checking us out and hanging out with us. We appreciate each and every one of you. We certainly couldn't do it without you. I want to thank everybody on the board. You guys always keep things interesting. Again, Brian Pasquale, we thank you so much for coming on and hanging out, my man. You know you're always welcome, and I know you're a busy man, so that's why I don't bother you much, but you're always welcome on the show, my friend. It's always great to talk about sports and such with you. If anybody doesn't have anything else, I think that's going to be it for us, guys.
Nothing else, man.
All right. So for Mike in the Steelers Central Mobile Studio, for Derpy somewhere over the rainbow.
Somewhere.
For Brian with that freaking Rubik's Cube, myself, and the two dumb yinzers, I do want to say thank you once again. Everybody have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all over. We'll see you then. Have a good one.
No.
No.